This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello and welcome to episode 4. And if you are keeping track of all of our episodes, this would be episode number 34. 34. We have sat down 34. Well, this will be the 34th time. 33 times we've sat down and done this. That is just like, doesn't seem like it's been that many. Does it to you? Doesn't it to me?
No, it doesn't. But I know people who've got like 250 and 300 episodes. And I'm like, dang.
It's yeah. like, how
but
can
But they got there through, they got there by starting at 1 and getting to 33.
There you go. You've got to start somewhere. But yeah, I'm like, wow, this is our 34th time. And it's been good. It's really been good. All of the different conversations. This episode, we are continuing on with our season of resetting our beliefs. It's a hard thing to do, but it's a doable thing to do. So don't get discouraged if you're trying to change a belief system and you're like, how in the world can I do that? Today, we're going to talk about why are you staying in this belief space? So if you know you're believing something that isn't necessarily a great thing, why? Why? So we're going to kind of jump into that, dig in deeper. So where would you like to start with this? Because I know you have a lot of really great things to touch on. I'm really excited to hear about the movie. So,
Yeah, I think, though, I want to start back with the question is, why are you staying in this belief space? I think that most of us stay where we're comfortable.
Yeah.
And I believe most of us hardly ever change. We don't wake up saying, oh, today is the best day of my life to change. No, I think that our pain becomes great enough to make us create the want to look at the opportunity to change. That's what I believe. Again, that's my belief system. It doesn't make it your belief system, whoever's listening, but it makes it my belief system that we don't wake up and necessarily embrace change. As much as we do, we are pushed into it and then learn how to embrace it.
Do you think that's from a negative spot? Like we're forced into change in a negative way and we don't always think?
No, I think sometimes it's in a good way, positive too. I think it's just not, I just don't think that we just wake up every day saying, oh, how can I change this today? You know, some people may do. I don't know. Maybe they do. Like, I think I would say this, we may do it, like I may wake up in the mornings and thank God for waking me up. And then I may say, okay, Lord, today, what are we going to conquer? And what are we going to change? You know, how are we going to change me and how are we going to change the world? Or what are we going to do? I mean, that kind of, that's to me change, but I'm talking internal, real gut work where you have got to gut yourself open in order to look at the deeper level of why you stay in the space you're in and why you believe the way you believe, if that makes sense.
It does. So what's the first question you would ask yourself?
I think the first thing for me, I've had to ask what, you know, why do, like, it's even, okay, we talked about Jesus last time and people showing us pictures of Jesus. And this is, you know, I'm just in a space right now in my life of really being so curious on why I think the way I think, why I believe the way I believe, why I feel the way I feel.
Where did it come from?
Where did it come from? Yeah. I'm just in that space right now and realizing that I just don't want to do it because everybody else is doing it. I really want to know because I think we're in a season right now. I do believe this after coming out of 2020, 2019, 2020, that everything that could be shaken was shaken. Mm, and I just believe that everything remains is what needs to remain. Mm-hmm. But I also believe, and I keep emphasizing on believe, because again, I believe our beliefs makes our behaviors.
Yes.
And they create opportunities for our behaviors. I think that if you watch a man's feet and where he goes, you can kind of see where his heart is. You can see where his mind is. So I think after coming out of 2019, 2020, we were in such a traumatic space and we were shut down from anything natural, because you already know I don't believe in normal, but on the wash and dry cycle. So I call it, we were anything we believed in naturally, that it was natural, our propensity to do and how we did it, the way we moved, the way we went, the way we eat, you know, going out, fellowshipping. The very thing that God said is not good for man to be alone, we were forced to be alone a lot. And if you were in your own house by yourself, you were left with your own thoughts.
Horrible place to
and
be.
And so what I'm saying is that our whole world was shaken. We had to adjust. We had to pivot, as you said earlier in the last episode. Like with anything else, you have to learn, do I stand strong on my right foot or my left foot? How do I pivot? How do I turn? How do I maneuver myself to get in position in order to be better or to just get through that situation? So I think that in order to start anything, I have come to the conclusion that I must be willing to talk about me, just like we did about the man in the mirror, just like we did about breaking the cycle of self-abuse, revolutionizing recovery. It all starts with that person, which is you. And so when you ask what is the first thing one should do when it comes to changing your beliefs or why do you consider moving out of the space, I think that a lot of times we just get so comfortable in the space we're in. It becomes routine. It becomes mundane. It becomes the way we do it.
It's safe.
It's safe. We know it. It's familiar.
Yep. Yep.
Unconsciously, most of us drive to work the same way unconsciously every day. It just becomes the routine of how we know. Why do I need to think about another route? I'm only forced to do another route when I get to the route I'm going and it's closed.
Yeah, and it's blocked.
Then I'm forced to think of a new route.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then most of the time I get frustrated and I fuss and argue inside my car with the people. You know what I mean? I can't believe they did this. Why did they let somebody know? Da, 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 da. And then you go through this big old thing and, you know, you just use that same energy to pivot yourself, to reverse the direction you're going in. So I just think that we are just safe. We so safe. We are by creatures of nature, right? We just like safety. We like comfort. We like, you know, it just is who we are naturally. We just like to be safe. So mm-hmm. to go and try to change a whole belief system, first, before you reset it, you must tear it down. Mm-hmm. You can't reset something without tearing it down because, you know, to me, in order to reset it would mean you have to work on tearing it down.
Is that like pursuing counter thoughts to what you believe
exactly.
to start tearing it down?
Yeah.
Like every version of like a counter thought to what you believe?
Exactly. If all you've ever believed is that you can't trust anybody, then all of a sudden you want to reset that belief. Every time you encounter someone and something inside you say, don't trust them. They're only going to hurt you. Don't believe in them. They're probably not telling you the truth. You have to say, and you might be right, but I won't know unless I encounter them and engage in them and connect with them and be willing to find that out as a truth versus a feeling. I think that a lot of times we have to be willing to be more open to the opportunity to not be safe.
Mm.
To just not be safe. We are risk takers. Even all of us are risk takers. Every time we get in the car, we're taking a risk. Because I am not in control of the other 1,000 drivers on the highway. So I'm taking a risk every time I get in my car. If it may feel calculated if I follow the rules, but I'm still taking a risk.
Yeah.
Because I have no control of the man in the other car.
Yeah.
And he has his own belief systems. Come on. So let's think about belief system like cars or automobile. Everybody has their own. So they're sitting in their own driver's seat and they're all driving the same way. And I cannot predict that this person will not cut me off in my lane because he or she is in a rush to get wherever they're going, not considering me, that they're only thinking about themselves. So belief systems are like automobiles and they got drivers. And so we are the ones who drive those beliefs. And then they end up taking us to destinations that we not necessarily always want to go to. But we have to take responsibility. If we end up in a destination, who drove us there? My belief systems drove me there. What I think, what I believe, what I feel, what, you know, all of those are part of the components of my belief systems, my experiences, my trauma, my, so I have to take some response. I have to take most of 95% of the responsibility I got to take, 5% of it, maybe environment and other people's influence. But I have to take 90 because I'm the one who's driving I'm on the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I'm driving the car.
Yeah.
And the car is my belief systems. And whatever I see, how I see the world is how I believe the world. And whatever I see, if I get a conspiracy theory, so many people have come out of COVID-19 and this time with so many conspiracies and so many things that they believe. They won't take the vaccinations. They, you know, I've seen people who won't be vaccinated, but go shoot up heroin in their arms. Like, why? Okay, so what's the difference? You'll take the calculated risk of shooting up because you believe that the gratification is that you're going to get high and you're going to leave, you know what I'm saying? So you'll shoot up the heroin and the drugs that you got in your system and you'll take that risk, but you won't go take the risk of getting vaccinated maybe to save your life and somebody else's. So it's all kind of belief systems that people have. And I think you have to be willing to look at how'd you get there, but then why are you staying there? And asking yourself, why am I staying in this space? If I'm miserable as hell, excuse the expression, if I am, why am I willing to be miserable? You know, I used to hear Joyce Meyer say, you know, you can either, you know, how did she used to say? She used to say, you can complain about the pain you're in and stay the same, or you can look at the pain you're in and do something different. But you can't just keep on. You can either be powerless or pitiful, but you can't be both. And so often we want to be powerful and pitiful at the same time. And we can't. We can't. We got to take some responsibilities for the things that we feel, think, and believe. We got to take responsibility of that.
And be willing to face even the fear of change. Like, not only does comfort keep you held hostage and unable to change, because rarely do you change from a place of comfort, but fear will also do that.
Exactly.
Like, you're afraid of what might be on the other side of your belief. And that's what's kept people in, like, all kinds of stupid things like racism. And, you know, they're afraid to ask questions of, you know, just someone who's different. Like, I want to get to know you. I want to find out, but I'm afraid, like, that you won't accept me or that my beliefs are wrong or whatever. But just fear will keep you just held hostage. And if you're just willing to step out and be curious, again, we're talking about curiosity, and be willing to say, maybe what I believe isn't so great, I'm gonna push past my fear. Rarely are you sorry if you push past your fear. Some of the biggest payoffs in my life have been when I've said, I'm going to do something that feels really scary and unsure, doesn't necessarily feel safe emotionally, but I'm going to try it. And there's just been some really great payoffs. But
you're right. And so that leads us into a movie I saw last night. It's called The Best of Enemies.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. I want to hear all about that.
Yeah. Let me just share a little bit about it. So anyway, it's on Netflix. So please go out and watch it. I'm not getting paid for Netflix, but go because there's some really interesting things. And I think since COVID, a lot of people are looking at movies more and not going back to the movie theaters. And so anyway, every Sunday, I have a belief system. I take one day a week and I stay in my pajamas. I find a day, and it's usually Sundays, and I get up, I brush my teeth, I wash my face, I do worship, or I get quiet, I don't cut the TV on, usually until late in the day. And every week is something different, but that is that space that I've created to just rest. And if I've had, whether I've had a hard week or a long week or a trying week, I look forward to, that's my pleasurable day. Like, I'm going to find one day, sometimes it's on Saturday, some days it's on Monday. I find one day a week. So it's at least 4 days a month that I keep my pajamas on and don't come out outside into the world.
I love the way that sounds.
I do. I don't answer phone. Sometimes I don't answer the phone. I don't answer texts. I don't You know, I just shut myself in.
That's so good.
So yesterday was that day for me. And I got, when I woke up that morning, yesterday morning, I did my time with my quiet time. And I felt like, I really felt led that I was supposed to watch Netflix, which I don't always watch it, but I'm glad that I did. I watched several movies. One of them was Homestead. And that was about a homeless man. And that was really interesting over. And then, but this, The Best of Enemies was about, her name is Ann Atwater and C.P. Ellis. She was a civil rights activist. And she was, this, all of this happened in North Carolina. It's a true movie. And so C.P. Ellis was a KKK leader. Hmm. He was a white male. She was an African-American woman. And what happened was they were dealing with school segregation, but they were trying to move into school integration and having the white and the black go to school together. And so they did this charrette, which, what that, go ahead.
Charrette.
Charrette.
Yeah.
They did the charrette. And what the charrette is that you come together and you bring different kind of people. You can do it at any level, designs. I got introduced with it because I'm building, by the grace of God, I have the privilege after 25 years to build from the ground up a facility, three homes for our women, and renovate the other three for our recovery homes, having the courage to change. Shout out to Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my team who is helping me. They know who they are. So I thank you for the donors. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I didn't have the experience that they had, but I do understand what I saw in this movie is how I had to pivot and how I had to negotiate and how I had to come against enemies that was against, you know, they wanted to do gentrification of moving our program and our ministry out of the neighborhood of a community that we had been in for 30 years. And I'm going to be honest, I thought about this last night and I had never thought about it before. And watching this movie showed me something that I think sometimes I just thrust through stuff and I have emotions about it, but I didn't necessarily touch into the emotions of it until last night. I think it was like, oh, that's why I felt that way. When I felt the biggest piece of my project was going to be raising the $6 million, but that was the easiest. And even you, Jennifer, said that you believed that the Lord was saying that was going to be, I was going to get it done quickly. I did. So after, to me, and you raise $6 million or $5.2 million of a $6 million project through a pandemic where people are holding on to things because life is unpredictable, right? Mm-hmm. So why would they give that kind of money to a project that they don't even know if we're going to come out of it? Maybe that's why they gave it too, because they didn't know if they would come. So they wouldn't give what they could, because everything that could be shaken was shaken. So when I ran into the opposition, I didn't realize it until I saw this movie last night that I had been prepared and made for that moment. And mm-hmm. you find out the best, how to become the best of enemies, even with common goals. And the whole piece for me was to have the dialogue with the people who was in opposition and not try to necessarily change their mind, but understand how they felt. And this movie did that for me to let me see that. I don't want to really tell the story because I want you to go look at it. But the bigger piece of this was that you had a Ku Klux Klan leader down south, deep Ku Klux Klan, believed in what he believed, the Jews and the black people was, you know, believed in that. He was the leader, like in his hometown, he was the leader. Hmm. So they were raising up. I'm just saying what I could see in that was that they were raising up people to fight their fight, to believe the way they were believing. And so when they did the, how do you announce it? You said it's
charrette.
Charrette. That's what it is. I'm sorry. Cause I want to call it charrette. So when the charrette, they brought an African-American person in, another person to navigate this brainstorming. And one of the things that one person said in it that was so powerful, and he was saying to the white people that you don't understand what it's like for a black person in America. You just don't understand it. That you know, we already know that we don't matter. But then we don't matter to the point where we have to tell our children, you know, to keep your head down, walk on the other side of the sidewalk, hold your head down. So we've got to layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of differences. Mm. And so he said that in this meeting. And then Anne Atwater, who is portrayed by, what's her name?
Taraji P. Henson?
Yeah, she was portrayed by her. Taraji P. Henson is the person who played this part. And she's such a great actress.
Oh, I love her.
And
I love her.
So this woman, you know what I'm saying, just wanted to have the influence. And so what they wanted to be able to sing gospel songs at after every meeting. So then the person who was the KKK said, okay, I'm willing to let you do that. But if y'all get this gospel, it's for Black people. And so she was like, no, it's not for Black people. It's for people of spiritual beliefs and people who are believing to raise up their adversities. And, you know, and he was like, no, it's for Black people. And so he said, the only way I'll allow y'all to have that is that if you let me display the Ku Klux Klan's information and the suit and everything.
Oh, my.
Ugh. Oh, it was hatred. Oh, my God. But see, the compromise of the best of enemies, right? Because sometimes the Bible talks about in order to take the enemies, the strong, it says in order for you to take the strong man goods, you must bind the strong man first. And the way you bind them sometimes is with kindness and understanding and peace. It's not always a war. And what I watched this movie do and what it depicted for me was that you had two oppositional people believing two oppositional things. But in a moment of time, when it came down to the one most important vote, the Ku Klux Klan leader, C.P. Ellis, when it was time to make the most important vote, he saw the African-American people as people. And he took a risk. Can you imagine believing the way you believe all your life, from your grandfather to your father, and then you make a stance to actually say, I vote yes for the integration of schools. But before he did that, his speech was, all my life I believed in this. All my life I believed that I was inferior to other people. He said, but if you look at the Klansmen's, I guess it would be their oath or their whatever they believe in. We can get that in post. You know, I don't know if we need to post it, but they was talking about treating people with mankind and kindness. I mean, that's one of their thing. I know it's oppositional, but he read it and it was so amazing. He said, and when I read this, this tells me I am to consider all people. And yet we are coming against people that are like us. And he said, they are us pretty much. They just different color, but they're like us. We all are struggling in this world. He said, so I am tearing up my Ku Klux Klan's membership card. And I am voting yes.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Of course, they came after him. But can you imagine? I cannot even imagine having had generation and generation and generation of hatred for Black people. And then at the most pivotal moment of your life, you stood up there knowing that you was going to be ostracized and rejected.
That he was going to make lots of enemies.
And he was going to make his community and his race.
Yep.
He knew it. You could see it when he was standing up there, that he knew that he was going to stand alone. But I'm learning in this life, there's some belief systems you must stand alone in. And when you know the truth, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. That watching that moment, he was set free. Now, he knew that at that moment, I think he realized, because you got to realize he was in a room full of his own peers. The KKK was there, the white people on one side, the Black people on. So he knew he was standing. And that's where I get this middle thing at, where there's this side and this side. But there is a middle ground. And to me, it's called the path less traveled. That sometimes you're going to have to take the road less traveled. You can't take one side or the other. You just got to create your own path. Hmm. And that's what I saw him doing. I mean, I just got that in a visual as I watched it last night. That the two aisleways, you know, the people on both sides of the aisle, but there was a clear path. And him standing in the middle was like, I think about Jesus walking on the water. I think about Moses, you know, bringing the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's camp and taking them to the promised land. There comes a time in all of our lives that there's a path that nobody can walk for you but you. That you have to consider the space you're in. And that space in between both sides of your life, the past or the future, stands in the middle of the present. And you have got to take the walk in the present to determine who you don't want to be from where you came from and what you believe you can be going forward.
Yeah.
But you must take the path forward in the middle.
That's so good.
And that's what I saw in this movie for me. Is that in those moments when I was going through opposition, there was a path that I had to take. And I couldn't make this personal, and I couldn't make it about me. I had to keep firm into the path forward. And the path forward was being willing to listen to the opposition and have an understanding to find where we can come out of this together. And that's what happened. In the end, the most oppositional voice invited me to dinner on their rooftop. So I'm saying that whatever your belief systems are, find the middle, find that ground, that path forward. That you don't look at the left or you don't look at the right or the right or the left. You just say, this path forward is my new freedom. It's my way of finding what I believe, why I believe it. Why did I stay in that space so long? How do I move forward from the space I'm in to get to the space that is going to embrace me to be the best version of myself that I can be? I just believe that this movie, The Best of Enemies, taught me how to face what's real, and that when it comes down to life, it is not good for man to be alone. But there come times in life that man has to stand alone. And you have to stand in what you believe. And so in the end, this movie was so profound, and hopefully people will go look at it because it was so educational and it was so inspirational and it was so insightful for me. That it let me see so many dynamics about the different systems of this world and how we got to where we are and how we have to learn that if you cut me, I'm going to bleed the same blood you're going to bleed. It don't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, blood is red. And when you go get a transfusion, you don't ask them before they put it in your body. Did it come from a Jew? Did it come from a white man? Did it come from a black man? If it's going to save your life, because life is in the blood, you don't ask that question. And the blood is red. And it was shed for us so we could have the freedoms to choose to believe. And even if we choose not to believe on Christ, we can believe whatever we need to. But that blood was shed so we could believe.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That is so, so good. So good that there's life in the blood.
Yeah.
There's life in the blood. And I'm going to go home and watch that movie for sure because, one, I love Taraji. I do. I love her. I've loved watching her through the course of her career, but, I like historical movies too. So it'll be good to get a perspective and see that.
And Sam Rockwell played C.P. Ellis, and he's a great actor.
I like him too. Yeah. He can be a little quirky.
Yeah, he was good though.
He can choose some roles. I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. But he's a good actor. He's really good. So yeah, I'll definitely check that out. And yeah, that just sounds like that took a lot of bravery, you know, on both sides, just thinking about, you know, the middle. It took bravery for the white man who was sure he had his beliefs all sewn down and perfect and he was absolutely right. And it took bravery on the part of the African-American woman to say, I'm willing to come to the table and talk to a Klansman about integration, which had to feel scary as all get out. But they were, you know, they were both willing, and it took that just, okay, I'm going to consider, because that's really what it was. I'm going to consider and I'm going to listen.
And that's exactly what happened. And in the end, once you will watch, you'll see the beauty of it. And
yeah, it's good.
I'm telling you, and just there's so many integral parts that I didn't talk about because I want people to go watch it. And I was just sharing what I got from it and how I could relate it to some of the things I had been through lately and what I'm sure that I'm going to continue as a Black African-American woman, being woman and African-American, I'm going to go through some more things. And so I just was having some dialogue with one of my peers today, just saying, why do you think that always happens? What is that really about? And being curious enough to ask the questions. And then going to the source and saying, why do you always make that decision?
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah.
What is, you know, and then you don't, hey, I even told the person, you don't need to answer me now because I really want you to go contemplate that. I want you to think about that.
Go deep.
Go deep. Don't just go surface with me because I'm sure you have a reason, but I like to know what it is. And you can tell me, I may not agree with it, but at least it's your truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I'm learning is that I want to be so curious enough to be courageous to ask the questions that nobody will ask sometimes.
And hear the answers.
And hear the answer. Be courageous enough to hear the answers, even if I don't agree with it.
Heck yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
Wow. So good. I hate to end this. I mean, I feel like I could talk about this all night, but we don't have all night and neither do our listeners. So until next time, hope you guys marinate on all of this and take care of yourself.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.